Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Among the legends of shipwrecks, ghosts, and pirates, one of Boston Harbor's most dramatic stories involves the top scientists and engineers of the Third Reich, hidden on an island fort just a few miles from Boston. It was an official secret for decades that a band of U.S. soldiers brought these German scientists here at the end of World War II to find out what they knew and what they might do for America during the Cold War. WBUR's David Boeri tells us the story of one of the last veterans who ran the clandestine camp.
Henry Kolm had an interesting job when he was 21. He smuggled Nazi scientists into Boston Harbor. The star of the cast was Werner von Braun, the uber engineer of German rockets who was coming to be repackaged as an American.
Gather round while I sing you of Werner von Braun, a man whose allegiance is ruled by expedience. Call him a Nazi, he won't even frown. Nazi schmatzi, says Werner von Braun.
The singer and satirist Tom Lehrer would later ridicule von Braun, but only after Walt Disney made von Braun famous as a popularizer of space travel. And Time magazine put him on the cover. And one of his rockets put America's first satellite into space. And to think that Werner von Braun began his American career right here in Boston Harbor. And secretly at that.
They all had to be smuggled into the country one way.
Henry Kolm was a young Army intelligence officer at the end of World War II. He had the assignment of sneaking the technology stars of the Nazi war machine onto the eastern end of Long Island and to a derelict hideaway there called Fort Strong. The operation, Project Paperclip, covered its tracks so well that practically no one knew then or knows now that von Braun and his comrades were ever here.
Oh, yeah, we talked to him often. He, you know, we had a mess hall, and the Germans gave each other lectures. They called this place where they stayed as Haus der deutschen Wissenschaft, the House of German Science.
If von Braun's second act as an American was spectacular, his first act as a native German had been outrageous and spectacular. He and his team designed and manufactured the V-2 rockets, bombs that terrorized London and Antwerp. Toward the end of the war, von Braun and his team were knighted by the Third Reich. Their V-2s were the world's first ballistic missiles.
It was a breakthrough in liquid fuel rocket technology, which meant that it was also essentially the way to space.
Michael Neufeld is curator at the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum, an author of Von Braun, Dreamer of Space, Engineer of War.
And especially after the atomic bomb became known, then the implication was, of course, that possibly we could build an ICBM with a nuclear warhead.
No wonder that Werner von Braun was our top draft choice in the first frost of the Cold War, as the United States and the Soviet Union competed to capture and recruit German scientists and engineers.
About a dozen of us were sent to Boston for the purpose of receiving German scientists.
It must have been heady stuff for the 21-year-old. He was among the greatest minds of the world, discussing science and theory. And remember, they were making missiles, jets, and Mercedes-Benz diesels for death machines. Among the classical music, two of Kolm's subjects were mathematicians.
Well, they were the brains behind the rocket program, basically. They developed the mathematics for orbital calculations.
They'd been a great team, if you were rooting for the Germans to win the war. But they weren't prisoners of war. They were free agents, literally. Indeed, they'd all signed one-year contracts with the U.S. Army. But technically, they were illegal aliens, and many of them, like von Braun, were Nazis to boot. So Henry Kolm and Project Paperclip had to smuggle them out onto Long Island so that Immigration, Customs, and the State Department wouldn't find out they were here. As an Army talent scout, Henry Kolm and his team evaluated every German, then directed each one to the right U.S. military program, laboratory, or defense contractor. Smithsonian curator Michael Neufeld.
Project Paperclip was really important. I think there was a really major transfer of knowledge that took place in 1945 and the years immediately after. And the real question really is not whether we should have done it. It's only a question of whether we had a good enough filter to filter out the people who shouldn't have come here or not.
Half the Germans who were smuggled here belonged to the Nazi Party. And about half of them were enthusiastic Nazis, says Michael Neufeld. Wernher von Braun had not only joined the Nazis, he'd also joined the Waffen-SS, which was the elite armed wing of the party. The rocket program he presided over in Germany had used slave labor from the nearby concentration camp, but the Americans were inclined to assume that men of science weren't to blame.
A convenient assumption, if you want to use these people, you know, you want to not think of them as war criminals.
Henry Kolm was clearly drawn to von Braun's jovial beer-drinking enthusiasm and space talk in the House of Science. But Henry had reason to hate the Nazis. He was an Austrian Jew who'd seen the Germans march into both Vienna and Prague. His family had lost everything and almost lost their chance to escape the Holocaust on the last boat to leave Europe. Uncles, aunts, and cousins were murdered.
Of course I was angry, but I found it more satisfying to appeal to their conscience.
What motivated von Braun's actions during the war, said Kolm, was his ultimate dream of using rockets to travel in space, even if he had to put bombs on them first to pay his dues.
He would have done it to be able to work because of his rockets, his beloved rockets. He said, wars come and wars go, and they'll be gone tomorrow and so forth. But what really counts is what have we done for towards the future.
Meaning to go into space.
Go into space.
As a movie based on von Braun's life would later pronounce, I aim at the stars, to which the satirist Mort Saul noted, but sometimes he hit London. Von Braun's expediency and his easy, almost genial indifference to the fate of the Jews or the victims of his V-2 rockets would later lead to public ridicule from that singer-satirist Tom Lehrer.
Once the rockets are up, who cares where they come down? That's not my department, says Wernher von Braun.
The idea that Nazi scientists could have ever hidden out in Boston Harbor while the city slept seems wildly implausible now, yet the times themselves were implausible. Go figure that over the arc of his career, Wernher von Braun would have his picture taken with Hitler, Himmler, JFK, Lyndon Johnson, Walt Disney, and the first Apollo astronauts who went to the moon on one of the updated descendants of his V-2 rockets that buzzed London. Henry Kolm, who went on to his own brilliant career as a physicist and MIT professor, had had a ringside seat for the launch of von Braun's American career and the careers of the other 600 Germans. But he never said a word in public until the chief of Army Counterintelligence freed him 3 years ago from the oath he took back in World War II.
So you'd never talked to anybody about this?
Well, I talked to my wife about it, but that's about
And now we've heard his story as well. A week after Henry Kolm told me his story, his family notified me that he had suddenly died. He had spent his last week in fond memories of younger and exciting days spent out in Boston Harbor. For WBUR, I'm David Borer.